There are several things that I wanted to read, but I want to start with something that, and then I'll add to it. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, I'm going to read verse 7, starting with verse 7. It says, "For nation shall arise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for many my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." You know, as we think about it and as we look at it, we see certainly there are many, many false prophets out in the world teaching a false doctrine. And certainly we need to think on that is such a sad thing as we think about it. They're out there, they're teaching a false doctrine. Now, Jesus is one that is speaking that, and he's speaking to his apostles. Let's turn on over to chapter 26. And this time, we're going to look at verse 17. "Now, the first day of the week, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for these to eat the Passover?" Now, I want you to think on this just a moment. If you were to go back into the Old Testament, and we would look at the law that was given to the Jews, one of the feasts that they observed was Passover. You can go to Leviticus, and we can read about it and tell about it. And here we see Jesus, no doubt, was keeping that Passover in his day and as he lived on this earth. And here the apostles had looked, and they see that today's the day that we are supposed to take and worship the Passover. So here he says, where are we going to do it? And he said, "Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the eve was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it unto the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now I want you just for a moment to stop and think of what you see in those verses. One of the verse I think you understand is that it is Passover. And the Passover is the first day of the week. You know, it was on the first day of the week. Now, that's kind of unusual for the Jewish feasts, because many of those feasts were on the Sabbath day, on Sunday, on a Saturday that we would have called Saturday. We look at our calendar, and what's the first day of the week? It's Sunday. What's the Sabbath or the last day of the week? It's Saturday. And I think we see that this Passover here of unleavened bread, you could go back. I didn't tell you where to go, but Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, and let's read it, just a little bit of it. Let's look at verse 15. And it shall come, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheave of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. In other words, 7 Sabbaths will be completed. And then on even verse 16, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Now this is Passover. It was 7 weeks, 7 days. 7 weeks, 7 times 7 is 49, and the next day is 50. And the next day would be the first day of the week. And that's where we see that coming from. And we see that the church had its beginning in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Passover, which would have been on the day of Sunday, the 7th day. So what we see is the first day of the week. And so we see the breakup. Now that was one thing. But let's notice something else. One of the things I think, as we would read this part, is that Jesus kept the law and all that was involved in it during his life. This was just one example. All right. Another thing I want us to see here in this reading, and that is that Judas, the one who betrayed the Lord, would have been better if he had not been born. You know, as I look out in the world today, and I see so many, and the way they're living, you know, they fall in the same room. It would have been better if they had not been born. because of where they're going after this life. That was where Judas. We see also what communion was for. The bread was for his body, and the fruit of the vine blood was for his blood. And he tells us that in that. Jesus tells us. And he says it won't be, take it again until the kingdom. He, of course, was facing his death here, when we see here. His death was very soon after this. But I noticed another little thing in that read. They also sang a hymn. Think on that. All right, let's go back to and kind of get into some of the things that you've already studied this morning. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 23 and 24. Here it says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Think about that. Think about that word there. What about that word? How are you going to deal with that word? Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, let's kind of define them. What is spirit? What does he say? What would he mean by spirit? I think that it's sincerely worshiping him, sincerely, honestly, conscientiously, believing it to be right, reverent, obedient. That would explain the spirit. Let me go over it again. Sincerely, honestly, conscientiously, believe it to be right, reverent, obedient. If we're going to worship God, if we worship him in spirit, those are the words that would describe our attitude and belief and the way we feel. You all know, of course, what is truth. The Bible tells us. Turn to John chapter 17. We had that in the other lesson. Chapter 17 and verse 17. This was a part of Jesus' prayer as he was facing death. Sometimes you need to read chapter 17, because here Jesus is praying. He knows his time has come, and it's right here. And this chapter is a prayer that Jesus prays. Then look at verse 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So if we look at the idea and think about the idea of worshiping in spirit and in truth, it would be according to his word, you know? Well, let's just kind of summarize it. If we don't believe it to be right, it is not of spirit. If we do things we don't find authorized in the Word of God, it is not of truth. We need to practice or do our worship according to what is written in this book, and we should believe it, and it should honestly be conscientiously believing it to be right and obedient to it. You know, that's the reason I think a lot of entertainment comes for places. They have no idea what the Bible teaches. They do not connect with the idea of spirit and truth. You know, that's the reason we find instrumental music used. Let me just give you a little thought on that. Where in the Bible do you find Christians worshiping and having instruments of music? I can give you probably about 10 verses where they're singing, 8 or 10, but I can't give you a verse where they were using instrumental music. So if we have instrumental music, then we've added something to it. And we've lost the idea of it must be according to spirit and truth. We need to be able to go and find it. Well, let me give you one or two verses here. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, look at verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. He uses the idea, I'll sing with them. I'll sing unto his name. Well, we see then that's one, that when we're singing, that we're singing unto the name of God and Jesus. Oh, we have a lot of verses. Let's go to Corinthians next, 1 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 14. In chapter 14, let's look at verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Here we see just what we had talked about included in that verse. Oh, we could go to others, like Colossians. You know, you've read it many times. Colossians chapter 3, and look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. How are we to do it? Here he describes it in all. And, you know, I think without a doubt we see there it's without instrument. Let's go back to Hebrews again. Let's go to chapter 2 in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. And let's look at, if I can get it here. Chapter 2 and verse 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Again, we see it, sing. And there's many more verses. I could give you James 5, 13, Acts 16, 25. There's other verses that we could look at. But if we're going to worship God the way He wants it, we must do it by spirit and truth. You know, that was also, I think, in the Old Testament. Turn back to Leviticus just a minute. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 10. I think it is. I've got it wrote down here. Chapter 10. Let's read the first three verses. Now, this is important because this is because we notice who it is. Leviticus 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. That was his two sons. What did they do? Well, they offered strange fire. They got their fire from the wrong place, not where God said. Strange fire. Think about that a minute. In that day and time. And think about what he says here. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. In verse 1, he said they offered what he commanded not. He had not commanded that. People oftentimes do things in worship that are not truth, not by truth and spirit. And we need to be very careful. You know, the other thing that we might say is, did it come from man or did it come from heaven? That was even a problem that we found in the Bible. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21, in chapter 21, look at verse 25. It says, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. Well, I didn't read 24, probably should have. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you what authority I do these things. They wanted to know what authority. Did it come from heaven or did it come from man? We have to be careful. We want to do what come from heaven, the authority of God, truth. We need to be very careful that we do exactly what He has told us to do. There are a lot of things that we could look at. We're not to add to, as we read in the other class, Revelations 22 and 18. We find in the New Testament that there was many false prophets. You go to Galatians chapter 1, and we find that one of the things that Paul was worried with was the church. He had preached one gospel and others didn't. And we could go to Acts. Let's do that. Let's go to Acts chapter 17, where we see that the Apostle Paul making a statement. I'll get it here for you in just a minute. Chapter 20, look at verse 16. And Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hastened, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to the Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And so he called them to come and meet him. And you notice that what he is talking with them, one of the things that is said, look at verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, if we read earlier, we know that Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus because there was false teachers there. And he was wanting to get them corrected. But what we see here, what Paul says to the elders of the church at Ephesus, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church is purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Paul had not shunned to declare all the gospel. He even, no doubt, told them what John had in his. If we worship God, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. We cannot add to. Does it come from heaven or men? If we add to it, it comes from men. Think about it. Summarize it in your own mind. If I don't believe it to be right, it is not of spirit. If we do things we don't find authorized in the Word of God, it is not according to truth. Entertainment that we see in churches today is added, and it comes from men. It is, does not come from God. We need to be worshiping according to spirit and truth. And that spirit, truth, comes from this Word of God, as Isaac taught in his lesson, and how it comes. What about you? Are you a Christian?